If you're looking for financial trouble, you've come to the right place. This is the Danger Zone. Yes, welcome to the Danger Zone on Money Life. It's where we get the latest take from the experts at New Constructs, where discounted cash flow analysis meets forensic accounting, and it goes in looking for things that are misleading. If it's misleading and it's working in your favor, that would be attractive. But if it's working against you and something's headed for trouble, that's dangerous. Want to learn more about how it works? Go to newconstructs.com. Kyle Guskey is investment analyst at New Constructs. He joins me again now. Kyle, it's great to have you back on Money Life.
Thanks for having me.
Who's in the danger zone this week?
Equinix.
Danger, danger.
Equinix. It's ticker symbol EQIX. Now, it's been in the news a little bit because a major short seller came out and was talking about it last week. But it's also been in the danger zone before. In fact, you guys put it and Digital Realty Trust, DLR, in the danger zone back in May of 2022. So is it the short call that was made? Is it the news? Is it something else? Is it all of the above that brings Equinix back to us now?
Yeah, sort of all of the above. The short report confirmed sort of the fraud, accuses of the fraud that would show up in the numbers in our model. The report goes on to say that, you know, Equinix is misclassifying operating expenses as capital expenditures to boost profitability. And we've got a whole huge report on why capitalizing expenses ultimately doesn't matter in our model, because you're just moving things from the income statement to balance sheet, therefore doesn't actually impact free cash flow and economic earnings, which is what we're looking at in our model. And it's what we pointed out in our original danger zone of how economic earnings were diverging, you know, negative while GAAP net income was rising. And so while the capitalizing expenses by itself wouldn't be fraud, you know, the news that they might be classifying operating expenses as CapEx brings it to that fraud level, our model was showing this big disconnect, you know, years ago. And it's one of the reasons we first put it in the danger zone.
The report came out from Hindenburg Research. That was the short seller saying that, you know, that Equinix exaggerated its profitability. Again, you guys were on this earlier, but even last week when stuff came out, there were folks who were reaffirming their guidance and their feelings that they felt that Equinix was strong. So how out of whack are their numbers compared to what you had, regardless of what Hindenburg Research was saying?
Yeah. If we just take, you know, reported numbers and what we've got in our model, we can look at margins over the past 5 years or so. It's fallen from 17 to 16%. You know, invested capital turn's been flat. ROIC is down over that same time. Economic earnings, which is what we pointed out in the original report, because it takes into account the income statement and balance sheet. It would capture that capitalized versus expensing expenses. Economic earnings have fallen from $89 million in 2013, so, you know, 10 years, $89 million to negative $1 billion, while GAAP income improved from $95 million to $69 million over the same time. So you've got GAAP reported profits of almost $1 billion, and our economic earnings show negative $1 billion for 2023. So we've got that huge disconnect, which then trickles into our valuation, which shows that the stock at current levels, you know, is extremely overvalued.
Well, extremely overvalued is, I mean, there are plenty of people who would say any stock trading in the $800 range is rich for their blood, but trading at about $800, which is where it is as you and I record this, how overvalued do you guys think Equinix is?
Yeah, so we think to justify the current price, you know, 800 and some change, they would basically have to improve NOPAT margin to 18%, which is the highest they ever achieved back in 2018, and then grow revenue by 20% compounded annually for the next decade. In that scenario, their revenues would be just over half of Amazon Web Services revenue in 2023, while their actual revenue in 2023 was 9% of AWS. You got a huge increase in revenue. Profits would go from, again, I think $1 billion to almost $9 billion in that scenario. And that's just to justify the current stock price. If we look at consensus growth rates, you know, if they can keep margins at 16%, grow at consensus rates, you know, the next couple of years and continue that out for a decade, we're looking at, you know, $193 a share, you know, 76, 75% downside.
In terms of the allegations that are made here that, you know, this is not kosher, that there's fraud going on and all of the rest, I mean, that's the kind of thing that normally you and I, David Trainer and I, are talking about. It's hard to find a catalyst. why didn't this stock get hammered more? I mean, isn't that the catalyst? Shouldn't that be it?
It should be, and it might speak to we've still got some excess liquidity in the market, no matter how much it's come back, you know, increased in, over the different cycles recently. But I think it's one of the definitely catalysts moving forward. You know, I don't, we haven't seen an official statement other than they're looking into that, you know, the company is aware of the report and denies it. But we've got a scenario where fundamentals are trending down. You know, the business operations aren't getting better when you look at the actual economics of the business. You know, all the adjusted metrics can almost show whatever they want, sometimes even without fraud, you know, all these adjusted EBITDA and non-GAAP numbers. But the fundamentals of the business are moving down. And I think this report stems to put a spotlight on that and really could serve as a catalyst moving forward with, you know, the next earnings, the next financial reports that come out, and people dig into it a little deeper and see what's really going on.
And as I noted, when you guys put this company in the danger zone the first time in 2022, you did it with Digital Realty Trust, DLR, as well. And the problem there was not just what you were finding, but it's also you guys don't have much faith in their business, right? You kind of believe that data centers are going to soon be, you know, going the way of the buggy whip.
Yeah, our original report was data centers are dinosaurs. And that was the, you know, they serve a purpose, but there's not the growth that was implied by the valuations of either Equinix or Digital Realty. Digital Realty still looks expensive. Obviously, there's not the fraud allegations, which brought Equinix back to light. But both the businesses, you know, customers are becoming competitors. You know, the drive for AI is going to increase the need for computing, which is going to increase expenses on these data centers because they have to upgrade the systems and everything. So it's just a scenario of poor fundamentals and a business that long-term will likely be taken over by, again, their existing customers, you know, Amazon, Google, that are going to build out their own data centers and host everything on their own clouds and everything.
And one question about the way this all works with the way you do your jobs, right? We always say you dig in at the footnotes level and work your way up, and you're trying to find out where pictures are misleading. But here is a company that basically the accounting practice that they're using is, I want to say it's legal, but misleading. And if you know that it kind of is doing this, I mean, I guess we'll find out if it's legal going forward, perhaps, as there may be lawsuits around it. But what does that do for you? I mean, obviously, you always have confidence in your numbers. But when you know somebody's playing games and when it's coming out that there are shenanigans in the numbers, what does that do for you and the confidence in your analysis if you don't know that you can trust the numbers?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, the accusations border from, you know, sketchy to illegal. Operating expenses as CapEx was one of the items at the center of WorldCom back in the early 2000s. And so we can only work with the data given. Obviously, we can try to reverse some non-operating items, you know, adjustments in the footnotes and get to that economic earnings number, which is why we want to look at that, because it does take into account the balance sheet, whether they're putting expenses on the income statement or balance sheet, moving it around as they want to. But we do have suspended ratings on companies. You know, we can put suspended ratings to let people know, hey, there's, you know, accusation of fraud, or there is, you know, internal control issues at this company. And so that's one of the things that we can flag in our system is, you know, we've built the best model we can given the numbers, but there is questions around them at the time.
And last, quickly, you know, you talked about how you think the stock might be worth under $200, et cetera. But is there a worst case scenario that's significantly worse than that here?
Yes. We're looking at, you know, if we wanted to see economic book value, which is sort of the no growth value of the company, it's down at 17 a share.
Yeah. Talk about dangerous. Certainly qualifies. It's EQIX, Equinix. And for very special and unique reasons right now, it is in the danger zone, back in the danger zone. Kyle Guskey, great stuff. Thanks so much, as always, for joining me on the show.
Thanks for having me. Great to be here.
Kyle Guskey is investment analyst at New Constructs. Check out their work at newconstructs.com. They're on Twitter at New Constructs. And that's where you're going to go to find out stocks that are trending and dangerous, and also the attractive ones too. We've got much more to go on today's show. Settle back, relax. Money Life will be right back.
Oh, wow. This is actually pretty dangerous.